Empowering Gita Reflections, a podcast to guide modern lifestyle with the wisdom of the Gita.
What is the Gita's framing around that? What have I picked up from the Gita? How did I process the Gita? So this is just purely my interpretation of it. This isn't from any scriptures or from any other real saints or realized souls or anything like that. But I think because it's from an ordinary person like me, it might be more helpful, possibly. That it might make it easier, more palatable for you that if that guy could use that framing, maybe I can too. So I think I'll share that as a way to start on this, the second chance that we get. One time I had shared that really every breath that comes is another chance also, right? In the Puranas, it's stated that we call oxygen pranvayu, literally in Sanskrit. I mean, you know, we saw during COVID that if you don't have access to pranvayu, to oxygen, everything is the same, but you just don't have that, and nothing then matters. If you cannot touch oxygen, if the lungs cannot absorb, cannot retain oxygen for a while, for a little bit, then nothing really matters. Everything is worthless, useless. It is that critical, right? That having access to oxygen is that critical, pranavayu. And that oxygen, it is said, is it, the exhalation, the breath of Vishnu, of Narayan. That is constantly inhaling and exhaling. And his exhalation is just pervading the entire cosmos. And wherever it touches, it comes to life. The plants and the birds and the snakes and the animals and the humans. And so every time it touches us, it's a reminder from God that, look, I am with you. You are alive. I'm here. You can use this. You can use this opportunity to realize your unity with me, to reconnect with me, to claim your glory, to reestablish in truth, in goodness, in pure goodness, in love, to let go, to burn like holy, burn everything else, and just be free. Just, you can, this breath has brought me to you, as if the Lord is saying, these are my interpretations, but I think they're real. That this breath has brought me to you, as if the breath is reminding me, use my presence. And we use it for something different. When you get back into the 15th chapter, this is where we had left off, Sanjeev Bhai, last time when we had done, Mama eva ancho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana mana shasthani indriyani prakritir sthani karshati. That, you know, you're a part of me. Nothing can happen to you. You're essentially, mama eva ancho. You are mine alone. Mama is mine, eva alone. Ancho is part. You are so integrally connected with me. You're so much in me. I'm so with you. He's emphasizing. Jiva bhuta sanatana. But every time I send you a breath, mana shashtani indriyani, instead of realizing that, akarshati, you go outward. You use the power that the breath brings, the chetana, the chaitanya, the cognition, the cognitive power that it brings with you, the ability to grasp, to know, to understand, to cognize. So, well, let me see what this is. Let me see what this is. Let me hear what that is. Let me taste what this is. Everything from outside. Touch, hear, sense, smell, all that. And then the breath is depleted and it goes away. Well, I come back again. Six times, seven, eight times each minute. I come back again. Okay, I'm here again. Next breath. Do you have time for me now? Do you want to cognize me internally? The Lord is saying. As soon as you get that. Because naak pakad ke rakho, jab marne ke to Bhagwan yaad aa jaye. Like, as soon as we run out of breath, those who are on ventilator, those who belong to those who are on ventilators are praying to God. Kaisa bhi karke, Hanuman Chalisa, ye, wo, chapai, sab, ki wo, oxygen nahi ho, mar. They're out of breath. As soon as the breath comes, though, they're all praying for the breath, for the oxygen, for the pranavayu, for the Lord to come back in that form. As soon as back, mithai bato, khao, piyo, sabji, ho gaya. So as soon as the breath came in, I'm completely immersed in the external world, outside, whatever is happening. This is that shloka where we left off, where we will pick up when we come back to it. And that depletes, goes away. I have never given up on you, Krishna says, the Lord says. Since you were born, you've been breathing. Every breath I've been coming to you. And because I cannot, I'm the God, Lord cannot, right? The ocean cannot let go of the wave. It's physically, scientifically, logically not possible for the ocean to say, the hell with you, you guys don't care about me, I'm leaving. Well, where are you going to go? Wherever you go, the waves will be on you. The waves are with you. You are the wave. So it's not possible for God to leave us. But still the waves are miserable because waves are thinking they are the waves. Instead of realizing that, well, they are part and parcel, a portion of the ocean. So each time the breath is coming, it's a second chance. And then I let go of that because I run away externally. All right, well, another one came in. Third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, thousands, 10,000, millions of chances being given. So we do have to catch that one chance where we start dipping inside, going back in, realizing. And then it doesn't matter whether we go outside or inside, because the joys of the external world no longer, and they'll cease to be even marginally attractive compared to the joy within. But that's when we come back to the to that shloka. We're not there yet. I was talking about if I had a second chance, how would I live? And that's how I looked at the Gita years ago when I had begun. And so when you start on a journey, you're a sadhak. And this is something that I've covered previously, but I think a revision never hurts. I know Madhvi's heard it a few times. A sadhak is a seeker. Because we're searching for something. Right? The sadhya is what I am seeking. Whatever I'm searching for, the meaning, the purpose, or whatever goal, whatever objective I am, that's my sadhya. Until I reach that, because I want that, I am a sadhak in Sanskrit. And the process that I follow to go from here, point A as the sadhak, to my sadhya, we call sadhana. Right? Sadhak is doing sadhana to get to sadhya. And the tools that we use in the process, like Gita, or Guru, or Mala, Kanthi, Mantra, Temple, Naivedya, Prasad, whatever, any tool that we use, it's called sadhan. Look at the sadhanam, Guru, Marginam, sadhan ka upyog karke. So a sadhak uses a sadhan to do sadhana to reach the sadhya. So there is the seeker in the beginning, there is the sadhak in the beginning. And when you reach the sadhya, that same person is called the siddha. We've heard of that word, right? Siddha purusha, siddha mahapurusha, siddha atmaya. Siddha means achieved, accomplished, fulfilled, not half-filled. Right? As I often remind, fulfilled. Not just filled, not just half-filled, fulfilled. The only way to tell if someone is fulfilled or is some part, is if you put a little more starch to overflow. The only way it is fulfilled is there's no more space to keep. And the stream of joy is always flowing. Therefore, those who are fulfilled are actually overflowing with joy. Literally overflowing with joy because they don't know where to keep it. And the joy does not stop. Right? The stream of joy does not stop because it's a steady stream. And they're already fulfilled. So what's going to happen? They're going to overflow. With joy, and therefore whoever is around is going to start experiencing that joy, which by the way is their own joy also. So fulfilled, a siddha is a fulfilled soul, having reached, having tapped into, having accessed that undepleting ocean of joy. So this is all doable. This is not play upon words. This is not inaccessible to us. This is not for the siddha purush. This is for sadhaks like you and me. Right. Gita was for like that because the whole reality that we think of anything has been brought by the substance that's in it, right? Is I think the way I'm receiving what you're saying. Otherwise, the form would just be an imaginary imagination. Because the substance is in it, it has become real. It's an unreal form. And how ironic it is that we take that form to be real. And this is something to think about, really. We take the form to be real. For becoming forgetful of the substance in it. And when, as Sanjeev Bhai so astutely pointed out, it really is the substance that has given the form any reality. Without the substance, it was just pure imagination. So that is easy to understand. What's difficult to understand is if I am a man Well, okay, well, I'm this substance, the bones, the flesh and the blood, the blood and the vessels and the hair and all that. So maybe I'm that. But yeah, I'm not that, right? Like, I am not that. That's still, this is the form of a body. And yeah, the body's substance is that. I am made of something else. My substance is Sat Chit Ananda. That's the spiritual. So the trouble starts to occur when we start mixing the spiritual with the material. The concept is great. I love it, the way you interpret it. But I'd caution you to make sure that you keep clarity between the spiritual and the material. Otherwise, people who read your paper or who listen to you might say, okay, great, I understood that I am real because I have this substance in me, the material in me. And that's far from truth. Well, you're not matter. We the real us is not material, right? And so you do have to take them to then, what is the substance of me? This is the substance of the body. What is my substance? What am I made of?
This Gita Yoga podcast will continue in the next session. Jai Shri Krishna.